Pushkin.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024, JPMorgan Chase & Company.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Solvable. I'm Ronald Young Jr.
You know, religious institutions, the UN estimates they own 8% of habitable land on Earth.
The majority shareholder is the Catholic Church. It has 177 million acres.
We need to realize the power of our portfolios. They're a proposition of what we believe in and our values. They aren't neutral, like anything.
And when it comes to portfolios of land, developing it, growing food, building on it, and living on it are the most familiar uses. Molly Burhans is a member of the Catholic Church. She's also a cartographer and data scientist, and she believes that land can be used to protect the environment and create a more equitable world.
I don't think anyone should have a global data set of all the world's religions, given that land and religion are like the two things that we have the most beef about in history, but also are the two critical leverage points at climate change.
Through her nonprofit, Goodlands, Burhans aims to leverage the power of data to mobilize the church to use its abundance of land assets for the greater good. She's developing a database to house comprehensive maps of all modern Catholic land assets.
If we all realize the potential of our property and make land work for good, biodiversity loss and climate change is a solvable problem.
I am Pentecostal. I grew up a preacher's kid, and I saw something that was interesting about your story, which was that you didn't get serious about your Catholic faith until college, which was a lot like me, too. I was saved at 9, but I didn't really get serious about the church and make a commitment until somewhere within my mid-20s. I want to say around 24 or 25. Tell me a little bit about that experience for you.
Well, before that, I'm interested in you. Like, how did you end up coming back?
You know, it's actually a journey that I'm kind of still on. Mm-hmm. So growing up in church the whole time, viewing the faith, listening to all the tenets, listening to everything that everyone says, being in a faith or faith practice that's a little more conservative than most. If you are a child or a young adult or a person that's questioning those types of conservative practices, you have no one else to interface with or to talk to that may think the same way that you do. And I knew that if I left, then all of the people who were like me at 9 and younger as kids would not have a me to talk to there. And so that's why I stay. And that's kind of what continues me renewing my faith every day. So Molly, tell us a little bit about your path with Catholicism and how it ties into what you do.
My dad was a molecular oncologist. My mom's a computer scientist. And I had been like really deep into kind of questions about finding God in all things. So like naked mole rats are very interesting creatures. I don't want to call any of God's creation ugly, but they are like really, really funky little guys that live under the ground, and they live really long. And, you know, I kind of like had this moment, and doing some mathematical modeling, it hit me like, gosh, why would anyone want to live forever? It sounded like terrifying to me in a sense. And then, you know, that led to the really deep question of why would anyone want to live today? What's the meaning of life?
Wow.
You know, and it kind of made me realize faith and science are like, there's a quote that are like my thumb and my fourth finger and through my grasp all things. You know, God is love and he's logical. It's not fear, it's love. We want to be here with those we love and celebrate. Why would you want to live forever? It'd be hell if it was anything else but love. That's the only reason. And so meaning of life is love. And then I, you know, had to, after that, it was the long journey of like, whew, how do we do this? And I'm still on that one.
So tell listeners about what it is that you do.
Okay. I run a social enterprise that I founded in 2015. And the social enterprise helps the Catholic Church, but it serves everyone. It can serve anyone with a large portfolio, understand what they own, generally at least 30 properties or more, and implement environmental programs using an understanding of the environment. In the church, so often one of the criticisms you hear of Catholicism is, you know, they're the richest thieves, which is, you know, it's not liquid. I think a lot of people, especially the Catholics, like I know, who are just like working for a diocese, doing the books, like doing ministry, who are like making minimum wage, you know, like the issue is really a management one financially. Mm-hmm. Our property portfolios, any investment portfolio, but a property portfolio right now is shaping the land around it, and it has potential and it will build the landscapes of our future. And we need to realize the power of our portfolios. They're a proposition of what we believe in and our values. They aren't neutral like anything. And embodying our faith and our mission to care for the poor and the earth and reflect that love and also be responsible financial stewards, you have to use data to do it. And we now have the tools to do that. Mm. So essentially, we digitize records. People can know what they have and where it is, to understand the impact of that property right now and how it can shape the landscapes of our future.
What's your ultimate intent with the work that you do? Like, if you could boil it down, what does that look like?
The big goal, to make the largest global network of ecosystems restoration, you know, making land work for good.
When you say, just give me a cursory explanation of what you mean when you say make the land work for good.
You want to shelter the homeless? You got to have a shelter. That's land use. You want to feed the poor? You have to grow that food somewhere. You know, care for the sick? Mm. Oh gosh, we know how much like design and outdoors and ventilation matters now with like COVID. You want to prevent the next pandemic? Mm-hmm. We have to stop destroying habitats. You cannot separate any of our emissions from the environment. Everything goes back to the land.
So you're telling me what you do is you work with the Catholic Church to get a survey of all that land and you recommend better ways for them to use it?
Yes.
Do you have a successful example of repurposing the land for good and what that looks like?
So I have a master's in ecological design and I studied under landscape architects. So my first project, which is being built in Springfield, showed me that making land work for good is so encompassing when you do it. It's a food forest and an urban farm for at-risk youth in Springfield, Massachusetts. And you design with the people. The people are the designers. We see community being built, health being built, skills being built, futures being built. It's good because it's so horizontal in its impact when we use our properties well.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase. Make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, quick question. Molly, talk to us about why maps are important. It's time-consuming work. So why not just jump in and start making ecologically smart choices as fast as possible, given the urgency of our climate challenges right now?
Yeah. Okay. Because everybody needs a map. Because a map is a blueprint, pretty much. Like, if you're doing environmental programs without a map, how I view it is, it's kind of like you're building a building without any blueprints. You're just kind of throwing stones. If that makes sense. Like, I think... It's really problematic, actually. For us, all the projects we did, they weren't just digitizing, but they started to progress to like, okay, now we're going to look at the portfolio financially. Okay, now we're going to look at schools. So why you need a map is if you tried to, even me, look, I'm rambling right now without a map. I could have said everything I just said to you in like 20 seconds and we would have gone, boom, boom, boom. Here's these data sets. Now we know the story, right?
Yes.
And now if you're working with soils and hydrology and water drainage, and, you know, if you're going to implement a stormwater management strategy, you know, if you're going to implement tree planting, not only do you need to have the right species in the right place to do it with any sort of ecological integrity, but at the same time, you could have 5,000 times the impact on this one property. And so it's really, maps are also about helping your neighbor in need, you know, not just doing it in a sound way, but doing it in a more equitable way.
And then what's the action item after you get the map?
Yeah, so they get like a master plan, which is really just kind of like a strategic plan for their property, but with the impact folded in, with the community input, and with the data so they can continue onwards and also to track what they're actually doing.
And in terms of how what you're doing helps the environment, what has that interaction been like between you and the church?
You know, it's been weird. I somehow got a meeting at 26 years old. You know, at the Vatican, it has been very well received. At this hostel called the Melting Pot in Rome, that's 15 euros a night. I'm mapping an entire global religious order at the time to just like get an idea of the data structure. I'm going to these meetings in like palaces in the evening. And I talked to the Vatican about it from day one. And, have been very mindful of security and policy. I think that is one of the kind of greatest outcomes so far of this is that I have been a voice about land security, mm-hmm. and data security and policy. I actually also had an association of Buddhist monasteries come to me to ensure that they know how to do this with their data. I don't think anyone should have a global data set of all the world's religions, lands per se. I think that that would be too powerful and high risk, given that land and religion are like the two things that we have the most beef about in history, but also are the two critical leverage points at climate change. You know, religious institutions, the UN estimates they own 8% of habitable land on Earth. That is larger than India and Sudan combined, and 5% of commercial forests. If we don't succeed as faith institutions in owning our responsibility in the face of this crisis, the world is going down.
How do you convince a faith organization of their responsibility here, though? Because when we talk about climate change, especially when you think about religion and the fact that in a lot of Christian faiths, they see themselves being taken out of here when the world gets to its worst state. So how do you even get organizations to care about something like climate change when they think that they might not even be around for it?
Grueling, absolutely grueling work, to be honest. You know, I guess we've been told it wouldn't be easy, but I never expected what I've faced in this. It's well, first, it's really education. So, like, you know, what I found is that people are kind of waking up more and more each year. And I think that's a collective effort of the science communicators, the activists, of the faith leaders, of it's so devastating, you know, every day, but we keep at it. Like, all of us, you know, from different faiths and no faiths, and just knowing the human family impact, the funding is the most screwed up thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it is shocking. So, like, you know, the Pope gave me approval to establish the first scientific institution there in a trial basis. The budget was not enough there. And I mean, and it's so weird. Like, my salary is less than a McDonald's salary. And I hope it gets fixed for all of us. And I hope all of our faith communities learn to step up, because the interest is there. The leadership, the bishops want this. You know, we have more requests than we could take, and we've already done as much as we can with pulling together these teams. You know, it's just, it blows my mind.
Most people that work in activism and work in the work that you are in have an acute awareness that there really is no end. But let's say there is an end. What does that successful journey look like for you?
Well, the big end is the Catholic conservation on the global scale. But I think in the next 5 years, you know, we have right now in our kind of backlog, we have 17 dioceses and 2 major NGOs who want to work with us. I actually think it's an alliance of, you know, dealing with the complexities of ownership and healing. Have to heal our communities and each other if we want to heal the land with integrity.
What can listeners do to kind of help to be engaged in your mission?
Just go start Googling permaculture. Just like inspire, like a holistic land design. Go find a place locally that is practicing these land management techniques, because you will see a future that you want to live in. Mm-hmm. That is awesome and verdant and like abundant. Whatever faith you are and the connections you have, encourage the fiduciary support. That is really the missing piece for all the organizations. I'm terrible at fundraising, but the whole space needs help. It needs money. All of the Faith for Earth, every Faith for Earth organization, desperately.
Was there a way for listeners to get involved directly with the actual map making and help propelling the project forward?
Oh my gosh, if you got 1.3 billion Catholics collecting data on species, we'd have like the greatest global species inventory in like a month. It'd be so cool, you know? I'm really hopeful, actually, about all of this. Right now, I know our partners at the St. Kateri Conservation Center have an app where you can log different species. I think there's a lot of apps out there too, like the Audubon Society and their Bird Day, you know, bird count. And it's awesome. I'm hopeful about the future. You know, we're all just hacking at it, and I see it happening, and it's coming out, and it's just not just Catholics, but all faiths, the people I've met in the Faith for Earth space, we're all caring about the same thing.
Molly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Molly Burhans is the founder and executive director of Good Lands. To learn more about her work mapping the lands of the Catholic Church and to find links to her suggestions about ways you can get involved with ecological design and mapping, check out the links in our show notes. Solvable is produced by Jocelyn Frank. Research by David Jha. Booking by Lisa Dunn. Our managing producer is Sasha Mathias, and the executive producer of Pushkin Podcasts is Mia LaBelle. I'm Ronald Young Jr. Thanks for listening.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes!
We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.